We welcome you this morning. We welcome you this morning to our morning worship service in Toronto, Canada. We're happy that you've been able to tune in. We're a little bit delayed this morning from starting. There seems to be a little technical problem, possibly with the servers at Sermon Audio. Anyways, we want to encourage you that if you find it a little intermittent, that you could refresh your browser and try to connect again. But be assured that the service is being recorded so that if you do get delayed, you're able to watch a little bit later on. Nonetheless, we're going to commence our worship today here with the singing of number 213 in our hymnal, O Word of God Incarnate. Let's sing to the Lord's praise. That, dear Christian, is the joy that we anticipate that one day we will behold our Lord. We will see Him face to face, and we will be like Him, for we will see Him as He is. Until then, our journey is by faith, and not by sight, at least not by human sight. And therefore, our hope is steadfast and secure in the living revelation, the Word of God that He has given to us, because in and through that He reveals His Son. And we can be thankful for that today, for it is God's grace that has shown us the light, and He has given us the way in which we are to walk. Let's be still now before the Lord and bow our heads and our hearts in prayer. Let's come to Him. Father, this morning we bow in Thy holy presence in the name of our Lord Jesus. And we are thankful, Father, for a new day that You have given to us. A new day of opportunity, a new day to give thanks, to worship from our hearts, to bless and to magnify our Lord and Savior. And Father, I pray that we would know grace upon grace for all that today demands of us. Lord, once more, we have been brought safely, graciously, and kindly to the Lord's day. And we ask that our minds and our hearts would be settled. We would be still before the Lord. And all of the distractions, Lord, would be taken away from us. All of those things that not necessarily are bad, but they are not things for this moment. And I pray that you would come now with power, and you would grant to us hearing ears and understanding hearts, that as we worship in song, as we pray, Lord, both audibly and silently in the heart, and as we listen to the Scriptures and as we read in our souls the Word of God, that, Father, you would bless us, pour out your Spirit in a mighty way. We cannot depend and draw upon flesh to support our spirit. We have failed many times in the past, and we will do so every time we steer away from and turn away from the working of the Spirit in our heart. Lord, forgive us, we pray, for our sin. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We want our minds and our hearts to be pure before Thee today. Please, Lord, help us. We are so often faint. We sense in our souls a coldness. Drive it away, we pray. Breathe upon us this morning with that breath from heaven. Blessed Holy Spirit, come and give us grace and help. We pray the word of the Lord would be applied to us. Remember, Father, those connected with our church who are sick, those who are set aside, those who have gone through or going through some kinds of treatment for their illness. Bless them and help them. We pray today for our sister Ruth. You would continue to watch over her and raise her again to health and strength. Remember our brother Sam. We pray for your servant today. Lord, comfort his heart. Bless him, be with him. We ask, Lord, to bless and watch over Tammy and Jeff today in their time of need and sickness. We ask, Lord, to bless many other connections with us, those that we know and maybe those we're not just quite so familiar with. Watch over all those, Lord, who have spiritual needs today and help them. We give thanks for the restarting of our school. We're thankful, Lord, for the grace and the strength given, and we pray that it will continue. We ask, Lord, that we might see the public opening of our churches again very soon in the Toronto area. Lord, we again pray for blessing and help upon our government officials. Lord, we wonder sometimes if they are fully aware and know all that's going on. And yet we pray that they'll be given help and direction. And we pray that wherever there are other intentions or motives or agenda, Lord, you would upset and turn that away from evil to good. And you would bless and help us in our time to be a light and a testimony and a witness. That's our desire, Lord. We want to share forth and to shine out with the brightness of Christ Jesus. Lord, help us to be in the right place at the right time in our generation. So, Lord, hear our prayers today. Remember all those who are serving the Lord in our denomination and outside who are trying to be faithful to the Word. Bless them abundantly. Supply their need. We ask, Lord, again today for believers that are suffering in the persecuted church across this globe. Lord, help and sustain and be with them, we pray. Help us all to know when and how we are to take our stand for the truth and to do that which is right according to the leading of our God. So bless us now today. Lift up our hearts, we pray. Bless every heart, from the very youngest, Lord, we ask, to the oldest one in our fellowship. Lord, bless each one. We ask today these things in our Savior's precious and holy name. Amen. Let's sing again, please, to the worship of the Lord, Psalm 119, section F. We're going to read in the Word of God today from the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1. Please turn there with me, 1 Peter, chapter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, your heaviness through manifold many temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, of behavior. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by Him do believe in God, that raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing He have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart, fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. The Lord will bless His word to our hearts today as we have read. And boys and girls, you're watching on today. We trust that the Lord will richly bless you and encourage you. You know, last Lord's Day, if you remember, I was talking a little bit about the flowers that were on the communion table. And the flowers, like the grass of the field, it grows up and it has beauty for a time, a short time. But then Well, then it fades, it withers, it falls down. And just like the old flowers that were here on the pulpit table last week, well, they're gone now. And after they have had their time, they spring up for just a little moment of beauty, and then they have to be thrown out. And so we have fresh flowers today on the communion table again, and they will last for today and maybe into the days of this week, although no one will be able to see them then. But you know, boys and girls, I want you to think today about how the Lord used this illustration in the portion we have read about the grass of the field, about the wheat that grows, and the flowers and the trees. And these things God has given to us for a time of enjoyment, for a time that we might receive fruit from the trees that grow. Ah, but very, very soon, those things will wither and fade and go away. And you know, to a large degree, your life and my life, it's exactly the same way. We are here for a little time, but as our bodies grow, as your little bodies grow, you feel strength of youthful days, but soon those days will go. And as our life is lived and as we go on in this world, yes, we get older and older and grayer and weaker. And then eventually we come to the time where the Lord will call us home. And our bodies then will go down to the grave to become dust again. That's where we started as dust, and the Lord made us out of this ground and this earth, and we'll return back there again. For the grass withers, and our bodies age and grow old. But the Lord is giving us that illustration just to point this truth out, that the Word of God, the revelation that God has given to us, it will never fade away. For the Lord's Word stands forever. And dear boy and girl, today, I pray that you will learn and understand the power of the Word of God in your own life, to memorize it, to hide it in your heart. For David said, "Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee." And so as God's word is in our souls, in our life, the Lord Jesus is made known to us. And as he is in our heart and life, we have the joy and peace of believing in him. And as we're told right here, being born again, not of corruptible seed. And the Lord is teaching us that we are saved by the living Word of God, by Jesus Christ, who is the Word of God made flesh. And we're saved by him, not by anything in this world. Do you know today, if you are saved by his grace? Do you know the joy in your heart of sins forgiven? Well, you can know that today if you call upon the Savior, if you ask him to come into your life, and the Word of God that you have hidden in your heart, it will come with joy and peace and assurance in your life. So, though we might be like the grass or the flowers, that we have beauty for a time, maybe, or we have strength for a moment, maybe. Ah, but that's not our dependence for eternity. No, it has to be much more than that. And we build upon the solid rock, the foundation of God's Word. And as we build our life and our soul upon Christ, upon his Word, when the storms of life come and when the wind is blowing, the house of our hearts, our soul will stand, because we are saved by the Lord's grace for time and for eternity. May the Lord bless his word and this little message to the boys and girls this morning. I want to welcome everyone to our service today. We are very glad that you have joined with us. And as I mentioned before, we were having some technical difficulties, and I'm not sure if that's still going on or not, but don't be discouraged. I know sometimes it can be frustrating when the thing freezes or you try to connect and you can't get connected, and sometimes you just want to give up. Well, we understand that difficulty, and if there's a little problem now, you might have to pause it, hold, and then come back at a later time in order to view the service. We pray always that God will bless His Word and bless your hearts, and if you're visiting with us from local areas or from a distance, you're very, very welcome in the Savior's name, and we trust He will bless you all. I want to thank you for your faithful praying, especially for our school, as was restarted again this past week after being locked down for a period of time from January. And it's so hard on the staff, so hard on the students, you know, because they get into a pattern of doing things one way, and it's online learning, and then it's back in school, and you're back online again, and it upsets everything. So I want to thank you for your faithful praying, but please do pray on. Pray for our young people, from the youngest grade of junior kindergarten right up to our grade 12 students. This is their graduating year. This is not easy for them. So pray for them, pray for our staff members, that God would guide and direct in everything. Remember our sick ones. I'm thinking about Dr. Slade, continuing to uphold her as she is recovering from her surgery. Remember, please, again, to pray for Sam McAnally. Our brother is needing the Lord's help and needing prayers of his people. At this time, the Lord would just come near and help him as he still struggles through with his cancer. Also, I would encourage you to pray for Jeff and Tammy Kruger. They're not well at this time, and Jeff's actually in the hospital, and would ask you to pray for him at this time as well. Well, you know, birthdays come and birthdays go, and we're talking about growing older. And Dr. McClellan had a very notable birthday just on Friday past. He turned 85, and it's no problem mentioning the age. If someone gets to that, they're quite happy, actually, when they get to be that old, and they can still be recognizing birthdays. So we want to wish him all the very best. And our sister Diana Fraser also had a birthday on Friday as well, and so we want to acknowledge her and give thanks to the Lord for all these ones that are recognizing these birthdays. Do pray for our nation at this day, our leaders. We hold them up. Pray that God will give them wisdom, and as we often think about restraining them from the evil and blessing that which is good. Please remember the services for the rest of today. Our prayer time at 5:50 on Zoom, and you will receive the connection if you're on our email list and you want to join in, and I ask you to do that. And then our service at 6:30 today. Want to continue our study in the life of Elisha. And the next part of that, we're going to be dealing tonight with the famine in Samaria. We looked at part A of that really last week. We want to look at part B tonight and the important lessons that there are for us from that time. Then on Wednesday evening of this week, our Bible study and prayer meeting, and we're going to be continuing to look at the Olivet Discourse of the Lord from Matthew 24 and 25. It's part really and parcel of the study of the life of Christ that we are doing in our Lord's Day morning services. But some of the detailed investigation that it really lends itself more to a Bible study format, especially when we're looking at the things of the end times and how the Lord was describing and foretelling about that. So we want to continue that this Wednesday night as well. We're going to be looking at specifically Matthew 24 and verse 42 and thinking about the sudden coming of the Lord Jesus, the sudden coming of Christ. Those are all the ministry announcements we have today. We're going to sing again to the Lord's praise. Number 218, Holy Bible, Book Divine. Thank you. Well, that's a good chorus, really, combined with a hymn. And perhaps it should be more in the back of the book where we have some children's choruses, but it's a very appropriate one. And boys and girls, I hope you think much about that. The Word of God is God's holy book. It is a divine book because it is spoken by the Lord, and He has given it to us to show us the pathway from earth to heaven, how we can know that we are saved by the grace of God, how we can know peace with God, and we'll know that we are comforted, we are protected, we are directed by Him. May the Lord bless His Word and these hymns to you, each one. We're going to turn, please, now in your Bibles to Matthew 24. Matthew 24, as we prepare ourselves, looking into the Scriptures today, we're going to read really from verse 29 of Matthew 24, verse 29. And I want to read one verse for you from Luke 21. You just listen to this verse, because the one I'm reading for you in verse 24 of Luke 21, it really is one that would go right before where we're going to start in Matthew 24. So listen to this. "And they shall fall by the edge of the sword," speaking of the destruction of Jerusalem, "they shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled." And verse 29 of Matthew 24, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. He shall send His angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together His elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh and near. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." May God bless His Word to our hearts as we have read. Let's please pray. Father, we ask this morning that the Word of God would be written upon every heart. I pray that we will have understanding. I ask, Lord, for the unction and anointing of heaven by the Holy Spirit, giving me help that I so desperately need to proclaim the Word, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Help me to speak, Lord, as Your servant, to faithfully expound the Scripture And Lord, let the Word of God come to all our hearts, leaving no one out. Father, work by grace in the hearts of those who are still unsaved, and bring them to the foot of the cross, whereby they would call out, Lord, save me, I perish. And Lord, please use the Word today to strengthen and encourage all of us in our Christian walk. Hear our prayer today. Bless us now. In Jesus' name, amen. Our study of the life of Christ has brought us to the closing hours of a Tuesday evening of the final week of Jesus on earth, when the Savior had left Jerusalem and the temple for the last time. Following the Lord's statement about the destruction of Jerusalem, the disciples, four of them, asked the Lord a question. A question about the timing of that event and of the end of the world. You know, for us, one of the great challenges, and certainly I speak as a pastor, of rightly dividing the Word of God, especially when it comes to the area of eschatology, the study of last things, these portions, we have to be careful to avoid speculation on the one hand, and dogmatism, saying, oh, we're the only ones that have it right, on the other side. As the Lord left some things unclear. And to acknowledge that, it means that we need to pray for more light from heaven. We need to pray that the Holy Spirit will open our understanding to understand the Scriptures. That's a good prayer to pray. I pray it myself regularly, as I will be the first one to put my hand up. Lord, I need more light from heaven. I need more clarity. And so while we all pray for light from heaven and for wisdom from God in interpreting His Word and in understanding it accurately, I'm aware of the real challenges that we face. But we are not alone. Going back to the book of Daniel, Daniel was able to receive visions of the dreams and interpret them from God. It was given directly from the Lord to him. But there came a point near the end of Daniel's book where God said to him, seal the book. Close the book. You are not going to know in your time what I have prepared for the end. But the Lord, by His grace, and as time does roll on, and as things do become clearer by the revelation of history itself, well, God helps us to understand. And we're told in the book of Peter how that the very prophets, as they wrote by inspiration from the Lord, they looked into their own writings and they prayed, Lord, help us to understand. And so we do the same thing. So coming back to Matthew 24, after the disciples asked their question, the Lord began, then He responded. And in His response, it is called the Olivet Discourse from chapters 24 and 25 of Matthew and the other parallel portions in Mark and Luke. He was teaching then what was going to happen in the near future and in the distant future. The near and distant future. And you know, it's not uncommon in the Scripture for the Lord to, first of all, summarize the whole picture and then go into some details of explaining it. Right at the very beginning of the Bible, he did that in the creation story in Genesis 1 to 3. The Lord gave a summary of his creation, and then he went and looked at it in more specific detail in certain areas. And so we find that's not an uncommon practice the Lord has given to us. I suggest to you that our Lord gave such a review of church history from verses 3 to 14, where he outlined characteristics that would prevail soon, that would continue through the centuries, and that would happen right at the very end when the Lord Jesus would come back a second time. What did he warn them about? He warned them about deception, and you have to take heed and beware, because there were false prophets in the days of the Old Testament, and there will be false prophets in the New Testament time, heretics, those putting forth things that are not true, but yet speaking as if they have spoken the truth. So don't be surprised about it. Be very much aware and cautious about that. And it will continue right to the very end. There would be natural disasters. There would be political upheavals. There would be persecution and betrayal right in families, continuing to this day, right to the end. There would be abounding iniquity. And we're told in Thessalonians about the mystery of lawlessness, of iniquity, that would increase until the coming of Christ. And the Lord Jesus also said there would be worldwide evangelism. The gospel would go to all nations. Then we find, I believe, from verse 15 down to 28 in Matthew 24, the details Jesus gave of the destruction of Jerusalem. And the very start of that in verse 15, he introduces the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. And there are three places in Daniel where this comes up, in chapter 9, in chapter 11, and chapter 12. And this speaks about a serious defiling of the temple, and the Lord terms it an abomination. Now, during the days of the destruction of Jerusalem around 70 AD, there were Jewish wars, and there were factions of zealots that were fighting. And the infighting, it was Jew against Jew in this case. And there was much turmoil in the years just preceding 70 AD. And so much blood was spilled in Jerusalem itself. And the temple area, according to Josephus the historian, was covered in blood. And this happened even before the Romans entered to do their destructive work. Christians were warned by Christ that they were to flee. As soon as they saw the abomination that maketh desolate, they were to get out of Jerusalem and flee to the mountains. And so, according to historians, that's exactly what did happen. And no Christians were recorded to have died in that great turmoil and upheaval. Now, how closely the Jewish wars and the infightings that were going on, how closely that was connected with the historical event of Titus, the Roman general who rode his horse into the temple area, according to historians, we cannot tell for sure. But all of these things that are faithfully and accurately, we believe, recorded by secular historians, they give to us the reality of what Jesus prophesied about the destruction of Jerusalem, and not one stone will be left upon another. And that happened. They were leveled. The stones were dismantled of the walls. God's word is true. And this event fulfilled the exact prophecy that Jesus gave regarding Jerusalem, and in a very real sense, when that judgment happened, because it was from God and of God, Christ would be there. As it was a judgment from the Lord. From Matthew 24, verse 29 to 35, the opening words speaks about the tribulation after, immediately after the tribulation of those days. And the question arises in the minds of students of the Word, what tribulation is that specifically speaking of in verse 29? Was it the tribulation that occurred of the great one that Jesus referred to about Jerusalem's destruction? Or was it a tribulation that would happen before the coming of the Son of Man? I believe the context helps us to understand more clearly, and especially as we read from Luke 21, verse 24, for it carries us ahead until the fulfillment, the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. It gives clarity, I believe, to verse 28 and 29 of Matthew 24. It takes us all the way through history to the second coming of the Lord Jesus, and notice the signs that were preceding that, these apocalyptic signs of the sun being darkened, of the moon not giving her light, of the stars of heaven falling down. These things are monumental. And the Lord also speaks about the great trumpet that will come and be sounded, and the angels coming, and the gathering of the elect from the four corners of the world, and the powers of heaven being shaken. These are events that the Lord Jesus prophesied that would happen before He comes back to this world again. How certain is Christ that these things would come to pass? Now we come to verse 35, which is the text I want to leave with you today. A most profound and stupendous word. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. How certain was the Lord that what He was saying was true? How profound a statement this is. And all friends, as we realize that not one fragment of the Word of the living God will fall to the ground without being fulfilled, we come to this mighty declaration of the Lord. And I want us today to learn and to pray its application into our hearts. Whatever else is uncertain in this life, and there are for us many things, whatever else we might perceive as being uncertain, the Word of the living God will never fail. And the Word that Christ has given to us cannot be erased. It will never be overturned. What can we draw and understand from this text today of Matthew 24, verse 35? We are presented with this great truth that the Word of Christ is eternal. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but Christ said, my word shall not pass away. The earth as we know it, and the world and the heavens, they have a time limit. And the time clock, my friend, is running down. It is running out. And one day the heavens and the earth, as we know them, will come to an end. And we're told in Peter's epistles about the elements melting with fervent heat. The elements, the things that make up this physical and natural universe. The passing away of all that man has ever known. It's talking here of the physical, of the temporal side. And I say to you this morning, on the authority of God's Word and with great caution to you, beware, friend, if you are investing in or depending on the things of this world for the survival of your eternal soul. Beware. For you will suffer great loss. No, you will suffer eternal loss. For Jesus posed this question, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and yet loses his own soul? Oh, the contrast, it's more than just striking. Here was Jesus on earth and speaking words to his disciples that they had either never heard, or if they heard them, they did not understand them. Here we have the Son of God, the Son of Man. It could only be a statement spoken by someone of this dimension and character. It would be the height of arrogance for any ordinary man to say such a thing. My words will last beyond heaven and earth. How could any human being say a thing like that? Oh, my friend, as our Lord Jesus spoke these words, He was declaring His deity. He was declaring, I am God. God who has come in the flesh. At this very point, a dynamic statement was given for those who would receive it and who would believe in it, and they would come also to see that as God's Word lives and abides forever, so everyone who believes in that Word will live and abide forever. What a great hope we have in the Gospel. We come by simple faith and we rest upon the Word of Christ. And that Word is an eternal Word for us. Psalm 119, verse 89, David said, forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. Forever. And if the Word of God is settled in heaven, what does that make of it? It is secure forever. If God could be dethroned, then His Word would be meaningless. Because Jesus is saying that His Word is as eternal as heaven itself. And if it's as eternal as heaven itself, it is as eternal as God Himself is. Other than that, the whole thing is meaningless. The whole Bible is meaningless. And anyone who would dare to put their trust in such a word would be a fool. Ah, but friend, faith has opened our eyes to see and behold that which is everlasting. Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. David wrote also in Psalm 138, verse 2, he said, Thou hast magnified Thy Word above all Thy name. And what does this talk of? It is speaking of God who inspired the Word, and He has given to His Word a place, not just for time, but a place for all eternity. and He has established an eternal principle when He said He has put His word above all His name. And it means, my dear friend, that God Himself has so established His word in heaven forever that He has submitted Himself under His own word. Think about that for a moment. Because our Lord Jesus said that the heavens and the earth will pass away, but my words shall not ever pass away. This means that what we trust in today is a word that cannot be tarnished or diminished. It will never go away. The Word of God that has been established forever in the heavens, that God has set above His own very name, and He has submitted Himself to His Word, how can you then begin to measure the eternal nature of the Word of God of Christ? Peter wrote, and we read already in 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, not of the things of this world, but we are born again of the incorruptible seed, God's holy word, which liveth and abideth forever. Was he referring back to Psalm 119:89? May well be. And then he quotes Isaiah 40 and verse 8. And where the grass withers, boys and girls, that's part of the little story I brought you today, the grass withering. This is taken directly from Isaiah 40 and in 1 Peter chapter 1. Where the grass withers and the flower thereof falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. Peter draws from Isaiah 40 and verse 8 and said, and this is the very gospel that we are presenting to you. It is based upon the word of God that abides forever. It is the eternal word. John Gill wrote, the everlasting gospel, the word of God which lives and abides forever, what remains and will remain in spite of all the opposition of men and devils. And a very brief look at history, you will see how much opposition there has been by satanic power to the Word of God. And as we have studied through history of those attacks, the Scriptures have been burned. They have been denied. They have tried to be watered down by heretics. And it will continue, friend, right to the very end. Let's not be surprised about it. The ungodly scoff at the Scriptures. Oh, the disdain that is in their heart of people in the radio talk shows or television programs, and they turn aside from the Scriptures and they would throw it out, saying, oh, this old book that people want to wait and depend on for their faith, and they all just set it aside. But one day, everyone who has spoken such against the eternal Word of Christ will come to give account. And their words of denial of God's word, they will have to answer for. Oh, friend, you cannot just throw out the Bible and say it's an old book written by some prophets and it's full of contradictions as people think. It is God's everlasting and eternal word. And you know, believer, what it means for us, we have to be very careful that we are not careless about the Scriptures. We cannot play games with the Word of God and try to manipulate it into suiting our own plans or trying to make it say what it does not say. And I will tell you this morning that this is one of the most fearful things for a preacher of the Word of God. We are called to be faithful to the Word. We are called to rightly divide the Word of God. And when you're entering into even prophetical things, this is most challenging. The last thing that I want to have said about me or my ministry when I stand before the Lord is that I have taught something that was against the Word or that was false or misleading. And so, we pray for light. We pray for a heart that is open and honest. A heart that does not want to impose our own views or wishes or wills. But step back and take our hands off it and say, Lord, would you show us the path and the way and give us insight and give us that necessary interpretation, because the Word of God that is eternal is something that I dare not tamper with. I dare not add to it, or I dare not take away from it. For it is the Lord's living and eternal Word, and it will stand forever. Yes, the Word of God is eternal. Please notice in the second place this morning that the Word of the Lord is powerful. It is powerful. It only goes to really be a logical next step, doesn't it? Because if the Word of Christ will not pass away and is therefore eternal, it must be powerful, because that which is eternal has no limit. And what is it powerful to do? The Word of Christ. The Word of the Lord is powerful to create out of nothing. The Lord Jesus created all things, and according to John's Gospel, chapter 1 and verse 3, we are told, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And that takes into account all of creation, all of this earth and our solar system, and each one of us, friend, today, all of humanity. For God made Adam of the dust of the ground. But where did the dust of the ground come from? He made all of the elements out of nothing. And as Adam lay on the ground, a lifeless body, God breathed into him the breath of life, and he became a living soul. Because life comes from God, and all life comes from the very Word of God. The breath of the Lord has spoken life into being. And all creation has come about as a result of the powerful Word of the Lord Jesus. He is God of very God. He is not like God, friend. That is the heresy of those who deny that Jesus is God the Son. And they say He was one of the creations of the Lord. But He is not God Himself. That is a foolish and heretical statement, because the Word of the Lord reveals the person and the nature of the Savior. And in so doing, we are told that all things were made by Him. All things were created because the Word of Christ is powerful to create. But it is also powerful to sustain, to hold up. And in Christ, we live and move and have our being. And in the Word of God, who has given to us that very clearly, in Hebrews 1 verse 3, who being the brightness of His glory, that is speaking of Christ, and the express image of His person, and note this, and upholding all things by the word of His power. The eternal word is a powerful word, power to create, power to sustain, and it has power over all of the creation that He has made. In Luke chapter 4 and verse 31, listen to these words. And Jesus came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and He taught them on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at His doctrine, for His word was with power. Now that word means His word was with authority. And so as Jesus was speaking that day in Capernaum, the people were amazed because they knew something about this carpenter, this man who had been brought up in Nazareth. And it says, and in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and he cried out with a loud voice. And this is what the devil said about Christ, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God, the Anointed One of God, the Messiah. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace, be silent. Come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him into the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. And they were all amazed. And they spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out. So the people were shocked that day. Can you see the scene? Can you picture it in your mind? Of the Lord in the synagogue? Of this evil spirit calling out and saying, who are you? What are we to do with you, Jesus? We know who you are. You're the Holy One of God. And he silences the devil and commands him to come out. And the word that Jesus spoke was a word of authority and power, because His word has power over all His creation. In Matthew 7, 29, when the Savior finished the Sermon on the Mount, the people were all amazed. For they said, He taught them as one having authority, as one having power, and not as the scribes. Why? Because the Spirit of God was poured out upon Christ without measure. And His word that He spoke was a word powerful to create, powerful to sustain, and powerful, friend, over all of His creation. Is that word, my friend, today powerful in your life? What impact does the Scripture have upon us? Let's ask ourselves that, Christians, today. We have the Word of God in just about every medium you could imagine, every format, so available everywhere, on your phone, on your tablet, your computer, in your hard copy. Are we the wiser as a result of it? Do we cherish the Scripture more? Or is it a case of familiarity breeds contempt or carelessness? Let's review that in our own hearts and come again to this monumental and profound statement that Jesus made, that heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall not pass away. The word is eternal of Christ. His word is powerful, but I say to you, His word is effectual. It is effectual. What does that mean? It means it works. Yes, the word of Christ works. And what does it do? The word of Christ is effectual to convict of sin. I love Hebrews 4 and verse 12. It says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder between soul and spirit." And theologians have argued over that for centuries. What's the difference between your soul and your spirit? And how do you divide between the two? Where does the spirit overlap to the soul and the soul to the spirit? How do you figure that out? The word of God is able to divide and discern between the soul and the spirit, between the joints and the marrow, in a physical sense, in a spiritual sense, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. That which is your thinking process and your motivation to act. And where's the dividing line there? The Scripture is able to convict of sin. Friend, I say this to you today, that the Word of God is powerful to convict you of your sin, and it's powerful to bring you to conversion. This is so absolutely essential for you to understand, because as you grope in the dark and you're trying to find your way through life, the Bible, the Word of Christ, has the answer. And the Holy Spirit will take the Word of the Lord and He will bring it to convict your soul of sin. He will convict your spirit of sin. And He will show you the only remedy for your sin. He will show you the suffering Savior. And He will bring you to cry out, "Lord, save me, I perish." Just as Peter did. And as you call out to the Lord for salvation, you call out to Him to save your soul, you will find that the eternal Word of Christ is all powerful to convict you of sin and to lead you to Himself. And that's what you need to do just now, to call upon Him. Because when you do, He will hear your prayer. He will save your soul. Yes, friend, for us as Christians, it helps us, the Word of God, it will correct our wrong thinking. My, this is important, isn't it? As you find yourself, I'm sure as I do, you're looking at events going on around you in the world and you were faced with all kinds of uncertainties, and you hear this thing from this internet source and hear this from this news source, and you want your head spinning, you wonder, how do I make sense of all this? How do I correct wrong thinking? Either from preachers that have given me wrong advice, wrong interpretation of the Bible. How do I get it all clear? Friend, we come back to the Scriptures themselves from the Word of Christ, because as we let it distill through our minds and hearts, God will make clear that which is not clear. When our thinking is gone wrong, let's put away wrong thinking and come back to the Scriptures once more. And the Word of God will enable us to defend ourselves against Satan. Because we have been given the sword of the Spirit in Ephesians 6, we're told. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And Jesus has not kept His Word from us, but He's given it to us. Do we realize the value and the power of the Scriptures that are at our disposal? And friends, we know that the Word of the Lord will expose hypocrisy. It will reveal hidden things. You know, it did so in the life of Gehazi. We were thinking about him recently in the life of Elisha. You remember Gehazi, that unfaithful servant that went after Naaman, who had been healed of his leprosy. And Elisha would take no money from Naaman, but Gehazi thought, hey, there's an opportunity here. He was an opportunist. But the Word of God that came to Elisha exposed the hypocrisy of Gehazi. And he was found out. And the leprosy of Naaman became his. Friend, realize this, that the Word of God is powerful and it will expose us. And you know, in our hearts as Christians, let the Word of God come to search us out. Let the Scriptures come to expose that in us which is wrong. And it will. And what do we do when we're faced with this? We must humble ourselves before God, confess our sin of hypocrisy and bad thinking, and pray, Lord, come and fix the problem and correct that which is wrong. So let's conclude the message today. And there are two main slides that I want you to see as far as the conclusion, and two questions. And the first one is this: what does this information give to us? What does the reality that Christ's Word is eternal and all-powerful and effective and efficacious in our life, what does it do for us? Well, you'll see these 5 points, and it's this. It gives us certainty in the promise of Christ's Word. Certainty in the promise. And the Word of God is filled with promises. And when we pray over and bank on the promises that God has given to us in His Word, that's sure ground. That is solid for us to stand on today. Rest, believer, on the promises of the Word of the living God, and be certain on them. Because sometimes the winds of opposition will blow, and when they do, they will try to unsteady us. But the Word of God and the promises are certain, and it gives us confidence that when doubts arise, notice I say when, because they will come. Doubts will come, for sure. But what happens when doubts come? Well, standing on the promises of God's Word, standing on the certainty of Christ's truth, it will give to us confidence when those doubts arise. And we will place those doubts in their right compartment. It will also give us hope in the face of despair. It will give to us, my friend, courage when fear surprises us. And it will give us blessed comfort to our souls. Yes, this is what the Word will give to us. And then finally, how should we respond? How are we to respond with a message like this today? In these 4 areas, I would suggest to you, with constant thanksgiving to God for His Word, every time you open it, believer, every time you read it, thank God for it. Pray that the Lord will write it upon your heart. Let's praise and thanks give to the Lord constantly. And come with humble obedience to that Word. And say, Lord, not my will, but Thy will be done. I don't want to be arrogant. I don't want to be proud and self-centered. I just want, Lord, to obey Your holy Word. And believer, as we pray that, and as we call upon the Lord to do that, He will answer that prayer. Absolutely, He will. And may we have loyal defense of the Word of God. Have a determination that we will stand by it. And we will defend the Word of God, because in so doing that, we defend the Christ of the Word. And with loving praise to our Savior Himself, who is the incarnate Word. He came down to earth to be our Savior. And He is today our friend, if we know Him. A friend that sticks closer than a brother. I wonder, friend, today, do you know Christ? Are you saved? I pray that you will come to Him, that you will call upon Him, you will repent of your sin, and you will say, Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, I pray today that as we have been feasting upon this great text of Scripture, I pray that it will be indelibly written on our hearts. Defeat the devil, we pray, in our lives. Defeat him as he comes to discourage us. Let us walk in the light of thy truth. Let us, Lord, not be set aside, but to feast our souls spiritually. Lord, so often we are sick, we are anemic spiritually, because we do not take your word with us. Let it be written on our minds and go before us to help in every circumstance of life. So, Lord, encourage, strengthen, and bless us all. And I pray that as we rejoice this afternoon in the presence of the Savior, that we will look forward again to tonight. Bless the Word of God once more to everyone. Hear us now, Lord, in Jesus' name we ask. Amen.